Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien, and I want to thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. Because you are here, because you're listening, you know that we're committed to making high-quality entertainment. We want you to feel like you're here at the table laughing with us, crying with us, celebrating with us, because you are. Becoming an official member of The Niche by joining our subscription service is by far the best way that you can support all of the creators here at the GCN. And not only that, you'll also unlock hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of exclusive podcasts, videos, campaigns, side quests, and behind-the-scenes hijinks that you just can't get on the public feed. And it's all ad-free. If you're ready for even more laughs, for more danger, and more GCN, head to jointhenaish.com and subscribe. That's jointhenaish.com.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Hello and welcome back to Pendragon, the only show on the Glass Cannon Network that transcends both space and time, because it is 6:30 in the morning tomorrow for me right now. And I am here.
It's 6:30 in the morning for you right now. You have this much energy.
I could never.
No, well, you're all going to have to, because I want a time where you all wake up at 6:30 and I'm like, oh, it's like 3 in the afternoon. I just got back from lunch. Like, oh, whatever it is you're doing. But yeah, no, that'd be great. So welcome to the Glass Cannon Network. I'm Brian Holland. We're here for Pendragon. Welcome, everybody. Are we excited?
Yes.
I'm going to say, and this is no BS, I am the most excited I have been yet in our Pendragon run, because your little cliffhanger at the end of the last episode, I am pumped. The horns of war?
I love a cliffhanger, as people know. The other thing I love is my copy of the Pendragon Game Master Handbook.
Yes!
Oh my gosh,
which is now available.
I also love my copy of the Game Master's Handbook.
It is out now. And look, I've obviously been using this for weeks.
Random page. Look how cool that is.
Wow. It is a mighty tome. This is it next to the core rulebook. They are thick. They are thick boys. They are good to go.
This is because we were talking about Ouija boards before we started. Yeah. But I was literally just thinking, I want more actual magic in our game. And you know, the page I opened to is a chapter, Magic and Miracles. You can't even talk about a Ouija board and weird stuff starts happening.
Well, I will take that on board, all those feedback. Now, so you go to chaosium.com and you can get yourself a copy of the Game Master's Handbook or anything else in the Pendragon line for 15% off using the code PENCANON2. That's PENCANON with a 2 at the end. The Game Master Handbook is full of a bunch of stuff we've actually been using over the last few weeks here, including the feast stuff. A lot of the winter phase stuff, that's all in there. If you're a real fancy lord or lady, you can get yourself a leatherette.
Ooh.
Did you guys get one of these?
That's beautiful.
I guess, no.
We are not fancy, apparently.
This is the same book, but in this lovely leatherette instead of embossing. Yes, exactly. Now, the other thing I need to mention, because I don't think I've mentioned it before, if you go to chaosium.com and you just choose to buy the PDF, and this is only on chaosium.com. You can actually, if you buy the PDF, say you just want to check it out, you're not sure if you want the hardcover yet because the hardcover is more expensive. If you buy the PDF on chaosium.com, you actually automatically get sent a coupon for the value of that PDF off the price of the hardcover if you then choose to buy the hardcover later.
I keep forgetting to mention this
because this is good. And that's the same for anything. So if you want to try out the starter set, have a look at that digitally and then be like, you know, this is sick. I want to get the hard copy. You can get... usually equates to about a 50% discount because you've already paid the 50% in the PDF.
That.
And if you buy the hardcover of anything, you automatically get the PDF for free. These are good selling points that I should have been mentioning for weeks now. So, PenCannon 2, doing that also helps your friends and the Glass Cannon. Shows my bosses that everyone's watching and enjoying the show.
I need everyone right now to flip to page 45 of their Game Master's handbook.
I'll do it in my leatherette version.
The art. I'm so sorry, Nora. I will show you this later.
Oh, the special tree. The special tree.
And everyone, you're just going to show everyone.
Oh, my goodness.
I just opened that and went, oh!
What the heck's on with that tree?
So there's all kinds of fun goodies in here.
Chaosium social media channel will remember a meme that I put together, which has all of the Pendragon marginalia on like a grid. And with the thing saying tag yourself, and that is one of the options. So,
good. Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, so, the special tree. Everyone loves it.
Who knows what surprises await you inside the Game Master's Handbook? Buy it now. Pin Cannon 2.
Thank you. And if you're enjoying Pendragon, if you're enjoying the Glass Cannon, the optimal way to consume its content is by joining the niche at joiningthenash.com. And
Join the niche.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like a mandate.
Is it?
Join the niche.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You need the La Valley scream.
Exactly.
And there are like multiple tiers of subscription, right, Joe? What else can you get? There are multiple tiers of subscription.
I mean, to get Pendragon, you got to be a premium subscriber. But this is
that's exciting.
I mean, the value you get is just insane. I mean, literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of episodes now of all different kinds of RPGs. So, yeah, I think it's pretty well worth it. You can check it out. And you can try it out for free with the promo code GCN30. If you use that promo code, you get 30 days free. You can try out anything.
Wow.
You could listen to all this Pendragon stuff, audio only, if you'd like, for free. Try it out for a month. It's great.
No,
Brian, I have a question for you. The back of this, I really thought this was smart. The back of it says, "Rank has its responsibilities." Of course, referring to the Game Master. Rank has its privileges.
Yes.
Are you
one who wrote that?
Do you consider it a privilege?
I wrote that
to GM for us. Pendragon.
I consider it only a privilege, and it's
not a responsibility.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just digress briefly. I can't remember if I've talked about this on the Glass Cannon, but I read when I was very young, first getting into role-playing games, I read an essay in the back of what at the time was called a new World of Darkness book, so that new range of World of Darkness that came out in the early 2000s. And there was an article about GMing and how it's actually, you're not that important. And the example they used were, say if I didn't show up to Pendragon today because I was deathly ill, but you four still had to record. You could probably come up with something, right? You know your characters. You could be like, cool, let's just be walking around the hall. Let's have some role-playing, whatever. If you reverse the situation, you've just got like one loser Australian guy with a camera and a handful of dice.
That's so true.
So the players are more so. Anyone out there that's like, it's very important. The GM, just get over it. It's not. It's not that hard. Just do it. Just try it. I promise you, it's not hard. Not as hard as you've been led to believe it is. And secondly, it's also if you remember that you're not that important, it takes a lot of the pressure off. So
yes.
Speaking of which, you all want to be entertained. So shall we start?
We shall.
Yeah.
I'm ready to be entertained.
Right. Yeah, entertain us. You want importance, responsibility, dodging. Yes, you meaningless member of this cast, please. Completely superfluous person, please. I was just thinking we could do this show without you.
Hark! Gather now and heed the tale of the wicked King Lot, who would deny the crown of the King of Britain. Hear now of the hooves and blades and arrow of his ill-placed fury. Hear now of the knights who opposed him with valor and with love and with passion. Hear now what became of them. This is Pendragon. Under an iron sky.
Intros. Yay!
Against the dark autumn night, the obese black clouds finally break their downpour. The rain falls like the lashes of so many whips against the stone of Lord Robert's Hall, and within the candles strain against the dark and the cold of the ever-threatening winter. It is here we find our knights and their Lady Montacute. Assembled in muted conversation against the cursed weather, drink is slow and food is meagre. Servants tend to the fire that gutters against the bellowing wind howling through the chimney. What should be a time of celebration is a time of great angst. For the boy King Arthur, he who drew the sword from the stone and was chosen by God to unite Britain, has had his claim challenged by the wicked King Lot, who resides far to the north. You wait now in Lord Robert's halls, somberly, for the arrival of news from Lord Robert's ally, Lord Owen. Now, there are many in attendance this night. There are locals from Salisbury, various, petty lords and high members of the middle class. Obviously, there are servants. Lord Robert, his lady mother, are, of course, sat at the high table. You are there with Lady Montacute, and there are some members of the clergy, such as Lord Robert's priest, and, of course, the monk, Brother Melian. And if anyone's wondering who Brother Melian is, that's because you skipped the winter phase thinking it was going to be boring.
Yeah, and we're not going to tell you any more information. You missed out.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was not boring. A lot went down in that winter phase.
A lot went down.
I'm going to ask each of the knights two questions, one at a time. We're going to start with Sir Quegan. The first question is, what is Sir Quegan most anxious about, given the circumstances?
Given the circumstances, so Sir Quegan, if you skip the winter phase, you do not know that Sir Quegan is now holding land. He's a landholder and has acquired some land and is now raising a family there. He has just begun a family. So I'd say the thing that makes him most nervous is Lord Robert losing dominion over these lands and him and Sir Quegan losing his land that his family's on and maybe his title to a foreign, not foreign necessarily, but, you know, a new ruler coming in and just giving away these titles to other people if they so choose.
Mm-hmm. And you're also the proud father to a lovely baby boy.
Yeah, proud father to a lovely baby boy. And so what happens in that case? Like, is your family just on the street, right? Like, it's very frightening. And so he needs to make sure that Lord Robert maintains lordship over these lands.
What's the baby's Fiona, name?
Yeah, what's
the baby's name?
Remind us the baby's name.
It's Jasper. Young
Jasper.
Oh,
that's right. That's
Jasper.
Right.
He's a blessed born boy who is guaranteed to survive till adulthood. I hope King Lot is aware of this.
You want to violate
just so you know,
guaranteed.
I've already rolled a natural 17. Do whatever you want with me. But Jasper lives to adulthood.
Dame Fiona.
Yes.
Unlike Sir Quegan, you have no loved ones or immediate family. That's cool, no. But I'm sure there is something that is... What is making you anxious about this situation, particularly on this night?
Well, I think if war is coming, often in these kinds of situations, there are people maybe scapegoated. And I wonder how the pagans are going to be treated in all of this. And if I need to fear anything, or if I'm going to have to watch people with beliefs similar to mine get treated differently. I don't know. I think that might be a worry she has.
Bit of a stressor.
Yeah.
Sir Caradoc. Same question. What is on his mind?
I think that any sort of internecine combat between English or Britonic factions threatens to weaken our resistance against the real enemy, which, of course, is the Saxons. So I think he is hoping that some figure emerges from this that will be strong enough, charismatic enough to unite the Britons under one banner and to repel the Saxons, the dog Saxons, once and for all. But right now, I mean, it is a harrowing time, I think.
And Dame Sophina, the most devout of everyone.
You said that the boy King Arthur was supposed to be like, or this is by God.
Yes, so you would all know that it was this year, so very recently, in Londinium, there appeared a sword in a stone outside the church. And it was written upon it and decreed by the priest that whoever could pull the sword from the stone would be the true king of England and would unite. And it was this child, this stable boy, who was able to do it. No one else could.
Right. So knowing this, and knowing that this boy king was chosen by God to unite England, and here comes King Lot trying to fuck all that up. Mm. This means like end times. She's thinking like, this is the end of the world. This might be the end of the world if this happens. So that's the mindset that she's in.
I'd like to touch on this a little bit because you bring up something interesting. How the Arthurian sort of legend is very much a post-apocalyptic story.
Hmm.
Because all of this takes place in a true dark age is one of the reasons that this legend has managed to thrive the way that it has and like spawn in the imagination is because there is so little actual evidence of what was going on like at the time. But this is an apocalypse caused by the collapse of the abandonment of Britain by the Romans.
By the Romans.
Mm. In, you know, like 410 when Rome was sacked by the Goths and then they were abandoned. And there's a clerical scribe named Gildas who wrote about this like well after the fact. And he was talking about how miserable and terrifying life was for people during that period. Mm. So people like hiding in caves and starving to death and being pursued, like all of this, and begging for help from Aetius, this consul in Gaul, like they're begging for help to return from Rome, which never came. And a lot of them like fled into what is now Brittany in, you know, Western France. Mm. And that is why like the legends of King Arthur, like so much of it comes from these Britonic sort of authors, because like they had fled from Britain, like during this time.
Mm.
So this is like this is a terrifying time. It really is. It's like Gamma World or something. It shares a lot in common with like Fallout or something. It's like it's very similar to that. So thank you, Nora, for bringing that up. Like that's
thank you for that knowledge dump. That was amazing. Yeah.
Thank you. And thank you also for to Professor Dorsey
Armstrong.
yes. Yeah.
Having now addressed all that internally, how are each of you spending time in the hall tonight while you anxiously await news? For instance, Sir Quegan, is your family with you? Or did you leave them back outside of Montacute?
So wait, we're in
Salisbury, Lord Robert's Hall. This is, and yeah. Lady Montacute is with you. Yeah,
yeah. So I would have left them at my estate near Lady Montacute's lands, basically.
Yeah.
So no, my family's not with me. I've come here urgently to, you know, find out the word. And I think that I might have misunderstood your question slightly. While that is what's most important to me, it's not as if King Lot taking over would necessarily mean that anything happens to Lord Robert, right? Like, because we're all...
It depends on what his intentions are.
Yeah, which I don't know. Yeah. And as far as we know, like, everything would maintain the status quo should Arthur stay king, right? Like, mm-hmm. that sort of... Yeah.
Correct,
so he wants to maintain the status quo and does not want that thrown into question by some king from the north who he doesn't know.
Yeah, I think the real threat to the status quo would be a Saxon takeover. That would be the real threat.
Right, yeah. Right. So, you know, exactly. So he is fine with a diplomatic end that leaves Lord Robert and Lady Montacute in charge of their lands, that would thus leave him in charge of his. But it is concerning. So I think what he's doing is, you know, during the winter phase, I put 2 points into intrigue because I thought this would be important. So I think he's not necessarily engaging in any deception or anything right now. I think he's just trying to gather information as much as he can about the current state of King Lot's forces, armies, what banners he has under him, what lords are, you know, taking up his case against the boy King Arthur and seeing what the actual difference is in forces.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, how are each of you spending this time in this hall with the meager drink and the little food?
I think I'm...
good question.
Kind of just listening. How is everyone else talking about what's going on? And do all these people really believe that the boy king was placed there by their god or not? And how does that belief play into how they react to Lot and how they react to people who don't believe in the Christian god? And just, I think I'm just like eavesdropping and trying to like vibe check how...
Could you, Dame Fiona, please make an awareness roll? Let's see. How well are you going here? What is your awareness?
It's only five. No.
I never upped it.
No, I failed. No, I didn't fumble, but I did fail. It was an 18.
Okay.
So I definitely like...
All you can tell is that the vibes in this room are pretty rancid. Everybody is very sort of... There's clearly a bunch of little cliques and they're speaking in hushed tones. Amongst them, you're likely at a table with any of your fellow knights. So you can tell what they're... And of course, Lady Montacute, who is very anxious. She's picking at her cuticles. You know, very, very anxious. At one point, however...
Montacuticles.
Montacuticles. Fixed in that one. Sir Caradoc, what about yourself? Are you with Dame Fiona? Are you with Lord Robert and his mother? Are you keeping to yourself? Mm. Are you writing sad poems about the end times?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Sir Caradoc. He also would be writing sad poetry.
Sorry, I forgot my name. So I think what he's been teaching, he's learning how to read. He's been spending this winter learning how to read and write. Mm-hmm. So I think he has kind of taken it upon himself to kind of, because the question is, it's like we've heard these stories that this boy king like drew the sword from the stone, has been anointed by God, he is the true king of the Britons, but is this true? Like, do we believe this or not? So I think he is using his newfound skills, like going through like probably most of the text probably written in Latin, like going back and trying to find, you know, any sort of like prophecy or any basis for the truth of this or not, because it's like, is this someone that we would want to follow? Is this someone that we should like throw our lot in with as opposed to King Lot?
Your proverbial lot,
So I'm trying, I think that's what he's trying to do, is like going through these texts and trying to figure out the truth of all this, any point the direction for what we should do.
Could I have everybody please make an awareness roll?
Yeah.
Should I make another one?
Yes. Yeah, this isn't for eavesdropping. This is for something else. Did you crit?
I didn't crit, but I actually succeeded. Three under five.
I crit, actually, on this one.
Oh, you crit.
Oh.
I got a five. Sorry, Skid. I did not crit, but I rolled a one.
Okay.
Wow.
I rolled a 12 over nine.
Okay. You're on the beers.
Distracted, I can't
pay attention. Dame Fiona.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond the stone walls of Lord Robert's Hall, you hear not just rainfall, but approaching hoofbeats.
Wren, listen. I think we might find some information soon. I think I hear horses coming.
The buzz throughout the hall when you say that begins to hum around. And a few moments later, the doors to the hall open from without, and in steps a sopping wet man...
Just like
with a severe
rings.
Hunch, standing no greater than 5 feet. He is dressed in tight-fitting, checkered clothing of blue and white and red, and his white hair and beard are braided with bells from his ears jingling. Ha-ha! He cries. This hall truly smells of ass and sadness!
Oh, it's just a jester, a clown of some sort, a fool?
This man is followed by a tall man and an array of knights, all of whom wear armor slick with rainwater. The tall man is middle-aged with a hard look upon his face. He halts a few feet into the hall and raises his hand.
Hail, Lord Robert, and long live King Arthur.
Hail, comes the uniformed reply from his cohort behind him. Long live the king. The knights all fall to one knee, and the tall man, Lord Owen, remains standing. Lord Robert, now a man of 15, I believe. He started at 12, right? 12, yeah, 12, 13. Mm. Yeah, he's 14. No, 14. Nearly coming on 15. Stands, and he calls, Hail, friend and ally, Lord Owen. Meet my household and loyal vassals. And he gestures to his knights and to each of you to introduce yourselves.
Dame Fiona, Spear Maiden, hail. And what I would like, I know, like, I should probably be like, yeah, yay, King Arthur, long live the king, all that jazz.
Yeah,
that would be an appropriate kind of thing.
That's generally how the feudal system works. Yeah.
Cool. But I should say it. I should say it
yeah,
the way
you should.
They did.
Go, long live the king.
And, I'll say, hail, long live the king, and I'll, you know,
and
down
introduce
on one
yourself.
Knee as well. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Dame Fiona, Spear Maiden. At your service.
Lord Owen nods quietly, and the man in the checkered clothing says,
Does Satan know his imp has escaped hell?
Rude.
Wow.
I suppose that's a comment on my hair.
Lord Owen interrupts and says, you'll
pardon my jesting companion, Snoopy Winkles.
Snoopy Winkles.
his jovial Winkles. Nature, I think you'll find, makes the hard days tolerable.
How wonderful you've brought him with you.
And I give him a look. He waits for the next person to introduce themselves.
I am Sir Caradoc. And I think I'm not sure yet how I feel about my attitude towards the boy king. I'm not sure. So I just say hail and bow, and that's it.
Lord Owen bows.
Hey ho, diddle diddle! Keep him happy, lest he give your mother a fiddle.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Well, I guess this is a classic, right? This
isn't that crazy.
Yeah,
this is not a court jester. I guess we know this kind of thing, but yeah,
and everybody knows about jester's privilege.
They can kind of just like say whatever they want,
so
right?
A jester was considered to have privilege because they were nonsensical. They could say whatever they want, and you weren't really allowed to take insult because what they said bears no meaning.
Yeah, it's just the doofus.
Guy. Lord Owen nods. Hail, Sir Caradoc.
Lord Owen, it is our honor to welcome you into this hall. I am Sir Quegan of Lord Robert's Hall. A pleasure. All hail the boy King Arthur.
Hail.
Oh, history is sure to recall heroes who need a step to mount their horse.
Fiona laughs a little now.
Lord Owen
telleth
nods.
Him a joke he heareth not before.
Oh man. Dame Safina.
That was good. That was good.
She's good. Lastly, she's good.
Lord Owen turns to Dame Safina.
Hail, I am Dame Safina the Fragrant, slayer of the fuchsia warthogs.
Oh. She's as fragrant as her tails are flagrant.
Oh.
Them's be fighting words.
Dame Safina draws her blade.
First person to fight the clown loses 1,000 glory.
But she does say, hail King Arthur, or hail the boy king, whatever, all hail.
Hail King Arthur, yes.
I was pleased to meet all of you. But my lords and ladies and knights, I wish I came to you with better news. Our scouts and allies report that the King Lot, who has refused to recognize the divine providence of King Arthur, is marching on your lands. He intends to take your head, Lord Robert, and claim your hall for his own. And from there he will march on Londinium to challenge the boy king himself.
The hall immediately fills with panicked chatter, and even Lord Robert is beside himself. It is like an eruption of talking confusion, and only the knights and Lord Owen remain silent. What do you do?
How did you hear this? Where do you get this information? Before we begin to panic, we must know where your information comes from. Your scouts, you say. How many? Quiet. How far distant have they gone?
Quiet settles over the hall. And Sir Quegan, you gain 25 glory, because everyone remembers that you're the one who talked sense into everybody.
Ah. Wow.
Oh. 25 glory.
Nice.
Lord Owen looks. He says, we have scouted far and wide. We know that this is what he intends, so our spy says. King Lot, through arrogance, has split his forces, so while we will not be outnumbered, we will be unprepared. I fear the King's Lot army will be here within 2 days.
2 days.
Well, fuck me!
Jeez, jovial nature lightens the mood.
Yes, I feel so much lighter already. Well, sounds like we must prepare ourselves. We will not go down without a fight, and we will maintain the safety and honor of all those here.
Yes, alert the summer camp children. Their first battle awaits.
Lord Robert Stance. Yes, of course. We will fight this wicked king, this false king, who refuses to bend his knee, and we will prove that faith and loyalty will prevail. Is that not right, my loyal knights?
Hear, hear.
Of course, Lord Robert.
Well spoken, Lord Robert.
You are wise beyond your years.
Yes, and Lord Owen nods. However, there is much to do and not much time to do it in. I have several suggestions if you would like to hear them.
Oh, yes, please. What do you suggest? Well,
you must prepare the armory for the convoy of knights that we will be fighting. We must make safe the village. We could seek further allies to increase our numbers. We could request both pagan and Christian blessings of strength and protection. We must, of course, also prepare the Medicaid beds for the wounded and ready the horse for battle, but I fear that we don't have time to do all of these things. Quick side note, okay. Brian has written new mechanics for these six things that we must do to prepare for the battle. Each knight can do one of these things, so two of these six things will not be done. It is now up to you, both in character and out, to discuss who should do what and what should be left undone. So these are very clearly... So prepare the armory.
I feel like that's the first thing we should do.
Yeah.
Make safe the village.
Also seems
seek
important.
Seek allies such as Lord Idwalin or perhaps the sorceress Nimue. Request and perform like both pagan and Christian blessings. Prepare Medicaid beds and ready the horses. So they are the things that Lord Owen has suggested.
Very interesting.
With the time we have left, we can, because all of these would take at least a day.
Yeah.
I feel like, hear me out, guys. Mm-hmm. Send this out of character real quick. I feel like the pagan and Christian blessings we can kind of DIY as we're going along.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to tell you what the mechanical I'm not going to tell you what the mechanical benefits or penalties to any of these will be. Each of them will include a role of some kind to see how successful you are. Any of the activities that you choose not to do will count as a failure. So whatever I've already written down for a failure on the roll, if you were to do that, is what will happen. So I'm not going to tell you what the mechanics are because you don't want to metagame too much.
I think preparing the armory is definitely something we have to
do.
Armory
sounds good. I like the idea of protecting the village.
Yes,
horses and allies. Those are the things that immediately stand out to me.
So we leave off praying and beds?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, beds. I mean, what good is medicine?
I mean, these are real doctors
anyway.
Look at this
guy with his fancy bed.
Yeah, beds. It's just like, oh, what? If you give people a bed, they're just going to lie in it.
Suffer on the ground like the rest of us.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Maybe if we do all the other things right, the best defense is a good offense. If we do everything else right, maybe we won't need the beds. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, that's right. There you go. That's right.
You're right. There will be, that's right. One way or another, there will be no wounded.
Right, exactly. Exactly. I'm sure we'll have no wounded. Yeah. Only dead.
That's right.
And I know that Lord Edwalin sounds like a good option for an ally, but I really like the idea of going to Nimue.
Nimue.
Yeah. I like that also, a lot. I asked for more magic, and that's what Paula wants.
Let's also metagame this a bit, which is also not really metagaming. Let's also not just talk about what we should do, but what we are good at.
Yeah.
You know, like that's another layer we want to consider because it's going to have to be something that we are good at doing. I don't know that Sir Quigan's good at anything.
He's good at looking out for number one. The one thing I will tell
you is that pretty much all of these, you'll either have to roll a specific trait or you'll have a choice between rolling a trait or a specific skill.
Okay.
So it's not like...
Okay. Yeah, because if it's just skill-based, that could be tricky. Now, well, armory, I think, would be okay. I'm sure horses is going to be horsemanship. I think we're all at 10, right?
Yeah.
And so like, that's kind of down the middle.
And convincing our allies is possibly courtesy, and I have a 15 in that now, so...
That's great.
Yeah.
So one thing I thought that we might... I don't know, but like the spiritual thing... I don't know, man. It might not be it seems like a good one to just wash away, but that seems like a...
But also, we're all really good.
Some Sofina.
Sofina would be perfect for.
Yeah, that is true.
Just to throw a little wrench into the mix.
Okay.
If we were to do the spiritual thing, what would we...
Take away. Allies? I don't know.
Allies are great.
Lord Owen is saying... Lord Owen has said that through arrogance, King Lot has split his forces, so you currently won't be outnumbered. But you
right,
will be
he said we currently won't be outnumbered.
Yeah.
So maybe that would be a little thing to switch out.
Yeah, maybe we focus on ourselves. Maybe we focus on armory, village, prayer, and the horses.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everything that is going to be directly going into this combat.
No. Okay.
Well, maybe the horses, if it's going to be a siege, then the horses won't matter that much anyway. It depends on how we're going to fight this battle.
We'll probably ride out to meet them, right? I don't think we have a great fortress, do we?
So Lord Robert and Lord Owen will tell you that, you know, that Lord Owen's Conroy will be bivouacking out in the fields where they intend to meet for battle. Not good for really either side.
I think that we're just really watching away medical beds, and I get why. I kind of am too, but I'm wondering what is that going to mean? You know, somebody's wounded, do they ever really come back into battle? Is it really just going to be like an end game sort of?
Maybe take some longer to recover. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, let's wind back to our very first winter phase where Sir Quigan was very wounded and spent...
Yeah.
What was it? Ended up being 4 weeks in bed?
A month bedridden.
And it was... From one cut.
From one Saxon dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I guess what it is like, if you're wounded, it could just mean death. But I'm okay with that.
It's a sacrifice I'm willing to make.
Yeah.
I hear you on all this other stuff, but I am still, to me, the most fun sounding thing is trying to get allies and specifically trying to get Nimue. Maybe I'm overthinking it, but to me, that feels like the most fun thing. And if she's, you know, this like druid witch kind of person, you know, like spiritual could potentially be used to convince her as well, which I'm also very good at. And maybe allyship, maybe they'd pick up the slack on some of the things that we're not doing.
Yeah. Okay.
But I mean, I just don't know what else I'm good at.
I really want to talk at anything. I really want to talk to Nimue.
Yeah.
I want to have that encounter.
I do too. See, that's really my motivation as well. I think that would be the most interesting thing, right? Is for us to
And to
do
be
that.
Clear, each of you will be doing
We'd
one
have to
of
do
these
a different thing
by
yeah.
yourselves. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But I'd be fine watching, letting, you know, Skid, if that's something you wanted to do, if we decided that's where we're going, that's fine with me as well.
Yeah.
I
just want it to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whether that's the best tactical choice, I don't know, but I do think it's a fun choice to make.
Well, the other suggestion for allies was Lord Edwalin, who obviously mm-hmm. has his own men who
yeah.
can fight. So
yeah. I don't think there's a world in which Sir Cregan would ever think going to the Druid in the woods.
No, you would. No.
When the army is bearing down upon us. So, yeah, I don't know what he would do. Maybe armory? I just don't know what skill that's going to be, but he could try. I don't know if it's... I don't know what that would be, though, but I don't know.
Are we overthinking this?
Yeah, no. No, I think we each got to pick
always,
our thing.
I mean, I yeah. feel like players are always going to overthink options like
that's
this.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah, without knowing what skill it is, it's kind of scary to
I'm not saying I'm saying this more to Brian.
Well, I'll let everybody know.
Brian could be
no,
like,
no, no, no. This
yeah,
is
no,
exactly this when I put this together, I was hoping that the idea was that there'd be no clear cut, obvious answer. Yeah, so okay. when the battle comes, we're actually going to be using the battle rules, which are in the Game Master Handbook. There's also an abridged version of them in the starter set. Yeah. And the battle rules have their own, like, their own mechanics. And pretty much all of these things you'll be doing will be affecting the mechanics of that battle for better or worse, because of how you choose your... Basically, it's a mass-scale battle, and the encounters are smaller skirmishes within that you choose to deal with. And there's a whole system for when your group breaks morale and falls away and that kind of thing, right? So all of the things you'll be doing will be affecting mechanics in that battle. But I can tell you what. You can probably infer them. There's nothing wild. It's not like if you do the blessings, your horses are really strong or anything like that. You know, obviously, I think you can probably make the connections to what might affect what. Yeah. So, yeah.
With God on your side, you automatically win.
Yes. That's the only one I hit in there. Like,
you
I'll
really
never do
should
that.
Have chosen friends.
It's good for morale. I mean, we're not going to... I mean, Joan of Arc, had they all rallied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you
if
can
God
burn
be for
Fiona
us,
alive.
Who can be against us?
And... everyone would be like, yeah, we're all rallied now, you know? Is that what you meant? Oh, different Joan of Arc story. Different act of Joan of Arc story. Not just putting okay. Yeah.
So
can we know what skills are required
for
no.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. It's either it'll be
so
either
armory
either a trait
way.
Or it'll be a skill, and you get to choose. If there is a skill, you'll choose between the skill and the trait, as in a personality trait.
Cool.
Okay.
So
let's go in character now. Everyone announce what they want to do. If you've decided it. If you feel like it.
I guess I'm going to go the blessing route.
The armory must be prepared. We must get the weaponry ready. We have little time to do so.
Yes, you must task the smithies then. Make sure that they have polished the armor and sharpened the swords.
At once, my lord.
There's much to do. There is not just your Conroy, but ideally my Conroy as well needs seeing to. A Conroy here being like a regiment, I guess would be the word that we would use. Yeah. And your Conroy, so Lady Montacute's Conroy will be the four of you plus six other knights and all of your squires.
Right.
So that is, you know, a Conroy is like 10 knights plus their crew. So that's quite a lot of, you know, full plate armor to prepare in a very short period of time. And what of the rest of you?
This is to Lord Owen speaking. Lord Owen, if King Lot is going to challenge the will of God, then he will learn that the will of God cannot be challenged. And I must go ready our lands with the blessings of God.
Yes. Well, excellent. Perhaps you can speak with the brother monk here. Brother Melian's there like, yeah. Many blessings.
Oh, love that dude. That's my boy.
That's your guy.
Well,
Skid, do you want to do Nimue?
Yeah, right. Then I shall seek out the Lady of the Lake, the arm clad and purest shimmering Samite.
that she may held aloft from the bosom of the water the sword Excalibur, signifying by divine providence that Arthur is to wield Excalibur. That is why he will be your king.
Very well, if you think that this secluded sorceress would help us.
Yeah, Quiga just looks at you like...
I've been reading about this stuff. I think I stumbled upon some like T.H. White or something.
It's amazing.
Like,
I'm just thinking of Monty Python.
There is a reason.
I'm just thinking of Monty Python. And he's like, just because of water I taught through a sword at you.
Shut up.
And lastly, Lord Owen turns to Dame Fiona Spearmaiden.
Well, I'm torn. Should we prepare the horses, or I feel like sowing goodwill with the people and protecting them is important, especially in this time when I don't know how they will feel about those who do not believe the same things as them. So perhaps I will work to protect the village in this time.
A very noble and important cause indeed. As far as I can see, there would be only three options that you could either send the villagers away, board up their homes, or pull them all here in the great hall. But I fear that all options have their downsides. I will leave that to you, Dame Spearmaiden, to decide what is best. Well, it yes, seems then, and he addresses the hall, that we have our plans, and rest assured that your knights and Lord Robert and myself will spare no thought or any strength in defending our honor and our strength. Hail!
Hail.
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 And as the somber tension of your decisions settle throughout the hall, Snoopy Winkles prances from foot to foot. War will come, war will come. Draw your sword and beat the drum. Heroes mount up by the set of sun, should they wish the battle truly won. But cowards must join the lowest class and shove their fingers up my ass.
Anyway. Oh, Snoopy Winkles. Vile.
The next day, each of you rise before dawn to make ready for war. You know what it is you must do. And time is surely of the essence. So, Sir Quigan.
Yes.
The Salisbury Armory. Just a brief aside before the next day. As everyone was leaving the hall last night, there was a tap on your shoulder, Sir Quigan.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What did I do this time in my past?
Just Brother Melian.
Sir Quigan, a word. If you would.
Yes, brother. And he looks around like,
And he gestures in the corner.
In front of people.
Need I remind you that should the dreaded King Lot, of course, the worst case scenario, should he behead our lord and take over our lands, while me, as a member of the clergy and a man of the cloth, I will, of course, be safe by the grace of God, various documents may come to light, and I cannot guarantee the safety of you or that of the Lady Diana.
I'm well aware of that, brother. Thank you so much.
Okay, just making sure you knew.
Well, then I suppose we should all do our level best to make sure King Lot does not set foot in Lord Robert's Hall.
Of course, I will be praying for you in that regard.
I'm sure that will help a great deal.
So, in the armory, arming swords adorn the walls amongst spears, halberds, bows, and arrows. Here, the smithies work day and night to restore and oil and sharpen, and it falls to you, Sir Quigan, to oversee the progress to make sure every able knight is properly armed and ready for battle. And to oversee this, you must make a prudent roll.
Oh, prudent!
Prudence.
What is your prudence? Prudence.
Oh, boy.
Oh!
Are you good at it?
I am 14 prudent.
There you go.
Nice. Prudence.
You dear prude? Prudence.
Wow. Awesome.
Okay, make your prudent roll.
Okay. Prudent. All right.
Don't fumble it.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said don't fumble it.
Could you invoke a passion?
Yes,
before you
thank
do
you,
it?
Paula Deming.
Would that be a good thing to do? Oh, I mean, unless you fail it, then that's a bad thing to do.
I'm going to invoke the passion of my love for my family.
Okay, which is what? What number?
18.
Oh, that's pretty high.
Wow. You're so into your family.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you know, originally, you know, that was sort of his family line, his family name. He was very, mm-hmm. he had a very honorable family. They had accomplished a lot before he was even born, per my history and events on my character sheet. But now this extends to his wife and son, right? Like this is, his family will be, I mean, they could just be put to the sword if the king of the Lord Robert is beheaded. So I will draw upon the passion for my family. And I rolled a fucking 19.
Nice. Joe.
Can you roll again to see if you become melancholic?
I forgot it was. I thought
this is like the check.
If there is ever
I thought
a roll
19, sure.
That
oh,
is assured
no.
to hurt someone more than myself, I will fail it. if I can ruin the game for everyone else, I will fail it.
Yep.
So regardless of the cause, you suffer the passion crisis, so make another unopposed roll against the passion that triggered this.
Make another roll. 18.
So you pass.
Okay.
So you succeed the second roll.
Yeah.
So you do enter melancholy.
Oh.
So you become very
melancholic. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said anything.
It's a depressed and emotional state. You are incapable of normal action, but instead you mope around mumbling, weeping, moaning, and even whimpering on occasion. Wow. And you'll suffer -5 to all your skill and passion rolls until you come out of it. However, you do gain 10 glory from being melancholic.
That's something.
And it's minus like, 5 to skill like and Kurt Cobain. Passion rolls, which is not a trait, by the way. So you won't get -5 for your prudent roll, but you are bummed out. So tell me what
he enters the blacksmith and he says, "Abandon your stations,
abandon your posts,
flee
for your lives.
We are all going to die." And then he just snot, tears, the whole thing.
You know what you need are some leeches.
Yeah, prescribe a course of leeches.
Yes. I hope Sir Caradoc gets that druid woman on our side. That'll turn the battle around.
Oh god.
Man.
All right.
Like a prudent roll despite all that.
Oh no.
No, he will come in and like despite his melancholy, he'll try to put on a brave face. What are you doing there? We don't have time for that. You need to focus on the most important things. And prudence will reign supreme. Success, 4 under 14.
Okay. Yeah.
Nice.
So the armory is adequately prepared for the oncoming battle. Neither any bonus or penalty is imposed. But let's just focus for a moment. So obviously thinking about your family is what has resulted in your melancholy. So is it safe to say you're just really worried about the outcome of this battle? Is it something different? Are you upset that Lady Diana is only loyal to you and doesn't love you?
No.
Like Lady Diana that we know in real life.
I think in drawing on that passion, I think what ends up happening is he thinks about the encounter that he had with the Saxon against one unarmored, filthy barbarian, and he nearly died, and he has never been to war, and the idea of going up against all these armored knights is like, I think that he can't help but getting into a depressed state of like, there's no way I'm going to be able to protect my family. I'm an embarrassment. I'm, you know, the reach of my arm is not enough to defeat any one of these knights, and my wife and son are going to die for it. And so he feels super pathetic.
You need a Gandalf and an Eowyn.
Yeah.
To team up.
Combo.
To boost your spirits.
I need an Eowyn. Yeah.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
Is there any... What's Diana's battle skill?
Not good. I'm sad.
Can she done?
It just goes.
I'm
not good.
I'm sad that she's not here, so I couldn't bring out my Lady Diana impression. But that's okay. Save that for future episodes. Just as an aside about Eowyn, because I recently reread The Lord of the Rings with the Reader's Companion, and I learned all these fun little tidbits that really do show that the text is very good. So in
it is, yes, it's excellent.
Hot take. No, but it's deeper. Like, some people are like, oh, the movies are good, but the books are like okay. I'm like, you're a moron. So in the books, Aragorn will talk to people, you know, saying thou, thy, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, which is how he speaks to Eowyn. But Eowyn speaks to him saying you and your, which is showing a level of familiarity, and Aragorn does not reciprocate that. So she is showing through her language that she is emotionally and lovingly interested in him, and he is trying to show through his manner that he is trying to keep her at arm's length. Then I might be reading into it. That would require Tolkien to have been thinking about language, so I don't know.
Never thought about language.
Okay. Sorry. Dame Safina. You gather... You're doing the prepared blessings, right? That's you?
Yes.
Yes. So you gather the monks and the priests and some druids...
Nice.
And walk through Salisbury,
hedge our bets, you know,
blessing the peasants and the homes and the great hall and the knights of the Conroy. At least that is your intent.
Mm-hmm.
So could you either test your spiritual or your devotion?
Tell
the folks at home what those numbers are.
I mean, your spiritual is like record high.
Spiritual is a 17 and devotion is a 16. So let's go with spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I invoke a passion, how much does that add?
It'll add 5.
So I can't fail.
Or it won't.
Oh, yeah, you become sad. You become bummed out.
Well, you could still... Oh, wait, how does it work? So if you do... So, if you have a 20 and a skill, if you roll a 20, it's still a success?
Your skill can go over 20. Right. How it works is it increases your critical threshold. So if you have a skill of, say, that goes up to 23, you don't just crit on the 20, you crit on 17, 18, 19, or 20.
Yeah. Okay. Should I try that?
Yeah.
Why not? Do it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. If I'm trying to invoke a passion, do I roll for that first?
You roll for the passion first, and you're going to roll against your devotion, I'm assuming? Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Or I could do homage. Because this is for Lord Robert. Let's do devotion, because that makes more sense. Except I rolled a 1. Wait, no, 1's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Oh, one's good. Okay.
Right. Sorry. Okay. No, it wasn't a fumble. I keep forgetting.
Yeah,
that's fumble. That. Fumbling the passion roll's real bad. That's all.
Rolled a 1.
Okay, man. So you succeed. So you're at plus 5 to your...
So plus 5 to my trait. Spiritual. So 22 spiritual. Mm-hmm.
So it means you crit on an 18 or higher. So.
Okay.
Nice.
I rolled a 9.
Okay,
but still success. Okay, great. Still a success.
So you succeed. Where is the... all right.
Wait, did you have a passion, Nora, that was over 20? Or you were saying if you got the passion, your trait would go over 20.
That's
what
you were
correct.
Saying. Yeah. Yes, just for that roll.
Can you have a passion over 20?
I believe you can. It's very hard to do, and it's called a whatever the level above famous is. I think it's exalted.
Exalted. Okay.
Exalted.
You get more glory for that in the winter phase, and it can be a pain in the ass as well.
Famous?
All goes well, and the blessings of both religions are placed. So no. When it comes to our capital M morale for the battle, there could have been a chance that you might have had to choose between just doing Christian or just pagan blessings, which would have resulted in a negative and bonus morale, depending on how many knights in the Conroy are of each religion. Mm. So you did very well.
Sweet.
Dame Safina. While you're there, there's a druid who is keeping his distance, but he... Oh, is it? Thank you for including us, my dame. Thank you. We appreciate the
involvement, despite our differing views of the world.
Well, if we are fighting together, then we all must protect this land equally, and I thank you for being a part of this.
Someone tugs on your sleeve by the side.
Yes?
Speaking of fighting together, Dame Sophia, Brother Melian, I'm not sure if we've met. I just think that perhaps in the future, you and I should talk more closely about the whereabouts and wherewithals of your riding companions, if you get my understanding.
Not really.
I'm sure it would reflect very poorly on oneself should anything come to light that might make you look less godly than you are.
Are you insinuating that one of my companions is ungodly?
Has done something not godly? Mm. Yes, I have. But, of course, there are more pressing matters at hand. I better go.
Ew.
Get out of here, Brother Melian.
Felt so uncomfortable.
And she just like backs away. So
is this
good?
The guy that's been teaching me to read?
Oh my god.
Yes, actually.
He's really normal. Oh god. Look deeper. There's something about Sir Quigan.
And you're like, why does he keep making me read about Sir Quigan?
Yeah, so why? It says here, it is an account of Quigan. Two women and one goblet, my lord.
And on that note, we will return very soon with more Pendragon under an iron sky. Don't touch that dial.
Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Jeff's rugby team will depart in 5 minutes from platform 15. Your ride comes with 6 toilets and a refreshments carriage that you'll empty within 5 minutes. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber. This is your latest idea. It's unique. It's game-changing. It's huge. But you can go even bigger with AI-powered PDF spaces in Acrobat Studio, turning your files and links into actionable insights and content. Plus, share projects and collaborate seamlessly while keeping everything private and secure. So, your excellent idea stays yours. Do that with Acrobat. Learn more and try it out on adobe.com.
Isn't life grande? And making it better just got easier with Starbucks' new Protein Cold Foam. A little something-something to take your favorite drinks up a notch with 15 grams of extra protein. Turn your usual iced caramel latte into a smooth iced caramel protein latte. Add a delicious swirl on top of your drink, just like that. Protein never tasted so good with Starbucks' new Protein Cold Foam. Subject to availability while stocks last.
Welcome back to the Glass Cannon Network, where we're playing Pendragon under an iron sky. But before we get back into the session, I just want to ask Paula if she would like to eat any more of her yogurt.
I've made a promise. Listen.
Into the mic, maybe.
I made a promise to the Naish that I would not have yogurt in my recording booth ever again. I will
say, she's had previous yogurt incident.
I'm not technically in my recording booth right now. It's a closet over there, but I did spill yogurt once in the middle of a Blood of the Wild episode. It was whole thing, and I promised I would not do that anymore.
But this is a classic letter of the law versus spirit of the law.
Right. I'll have one bite. It's a cherry.
Oh, it's Chobani.
Yogurt. Chobani, Greek yogurt. Fruit on the bottom that I mixed in, and it's got some pepitas.
Under an iron sky.
I didn't know you were looking at that. Oh, that's all I have for now.
All right, and if
I
you'd like
to make anyone else stop supporting the Glass Cannon because of my yogurt eating habits.
Quite the contrary, if you want to support If you want to see more of Paula eating yogurt, you can go to jointhenation.com.
You can go to OnlyFans. No, to the text yogurt to
let's get some more close-up mouth sounds from Paula Deming.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Jointhenation.com.
Yeah, exactly. Go to chaosium.com. And with the wholesome content, go to chaosium.com and buy some Pendragon stuff, including the starter set, including the core rulebook, including the Game Master Handbook, including the special leatherette versions, which are the same but with nicer, fancier covers.
I want that one.
For 15% off. I nearly said 30.
I've got nothing to hold up. So 15, here you go.
15% off.
You also get Norris Cat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Using the code PenCannon2.
PenCannon2.
That wasn't very good.
You're not going to be able to find a better piece of random art than the penis tree, Paula, if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah. Oh, man. Now not a single page I open even has art on it.
Oh, okay.
Nary a penis in sight.
There you go. That guy. Look at him.
There's no dick trees on this page.
Yeah.
What the?
Not enough. You know, like, I don't know, 4 out of 10 rating,
guys,
not enough dick trees.
We might be seeing
a little
battle?
Of this action.
Oh, a little battle.
Nice.
Well, let me tell you, I hope not, because no one tended to the horses.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hope not like that, because we did not.
And yeah, that's anyway, we'll all find out together. As this continues, we are still preparing, if for some reason you've just joined us, we are still preparing the battle against the Wicked King Lot, and each of our knights has a task to perform. So far, Sir Quigan has adequately prepared the armory despite getting very, very sad, very depressed. Dame Safina has adequately prepared blessings from both pagans and Christians and had a fun little interaction with men from both sides while doing so.
I don't like that monk.
Yeah, Sir Caradoc. He's good buddies with Sir Quigan. You got nothing to worry about.
Maybe this was a mistake. Aligning with Brother Melian.
No, he's all right. Sir Caradoc, you were once again, as you had 2 years ago, you were once again traveling to the Isle of Avalon through the marshes. So tell me, how are you feeling? You've had to make haste. Upon Wyvern. Is it Wyvern, the horse?
Well, I think I'm actually leaving Wyvern stabled because of his
not that
recent health issues.
Him,
yeah. So instead I'm using my riding horse, Bucephalus.
Bucephalus.
Yes. Nice.
What is the etymology behind that name?
Bucephalus was the famed war horse of Alexander the Great.
Oh.
Nice. And this is the same horse. You just somehow have the very same horse as Alexander the Great.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, he got it from you. Yeah,
but he's not good enough to be Caradoc's war horse, mind you.
No.
That tells you how good Wyvern is.
That means Wyvern is ridiculous.
Exactly. Could you please roll a d20 and we can figure out what is it? Bucephalus.
Bucephalus. Bucephalus.
Bucephalus. Bucephalus. Yeah. I'm definitely going to get that wrong. What's Bucephalus's personality?
Syphilis.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, we need a personality for Bucephalus.
Yeah.
New horse 19, alert. New horse.
19, which 19. I'm glad I rolled on that and not any subsequent
Bucephalus,
rolls.
Tell us again. He's the legendary war horse of
Alexander the Great.
Okay. Well, your Bucephalus is clumsy. He's clumsy. He's prone to tripping and injuring themself and others.
Oh, great.
No.
And you're in a march
That's
with
amazing.
Him. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Okay.
Can you make a horsemanship roll, please?
We'll see.
Oh, my gosh. Trip and fall, and then we don't even get the scene. You get hurt. We don't even get the scene that we sacrifice tactics to get.
What's that face?
That might be a crit.
You rolled 10?
Horsemanship. Where is it? For heaven's sake.
Skills.
Oh, no.
Combat
okay.
skills.
Nine. Nine under
nine.
ten. 9 under 10.
Oh, okay. So you pass. Close, so you're okay. So right. while Bucephorus is like, you know, or whatever, you know, walking through.
I don't know, Caradoc.
I don't know, Caradoc.
Yeah, he's definitely got that vulture voice from that one derpy vulture from Looney Tunes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about this old druid, Wilbur.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So you lead. No, you don't lead the horse through. The horse, you know, takes you through the marsh. And if we recall the Isle of Avalon, you're directing the horse through the marsh, which surrounds the Isle of Avalon. Somehow it's just perpetually gloomy around here. The leaves are falling from the trees because it is the autumn. Your winter is coming. And the Isle of Avalon, for those who don't recall from our very first story, is a large hill that rises out from amongst these hills, atop which is a tall a tower, a tor. But it was at the foot of these hills, this hill, where you came across a cave where you met the Enchantress Nimue. And you do recall, despite the fact it's only been, it has been 2 years since you were last here, you can recall the pathway because so much of that particular adventure is etched into your memory. And as you approach, once again, the little effigies and fetishes hanging from the trees, and you come to the mouth of the cave that you remember finding her in, and it begins to rain, and even beneath the canopies of these fallen trees, the rain is pattering against the armor of your horse and against Eucyphorus's head and drenching him. And the mouth of the cave, it's very strange, is completely sealed almost perfectly with a single massive sheet of stone. Smooth granite stone, which to you would look like the cave mouth itself would have had to have been etched around stone that is already under the ground, because the only other option would be that somebody has perfectly cut a sheet of smooth granite and slid it into the cave mouth. This is not like a cave-in or anything else. It is just shuttered completely.
Hmm.
What would you like to do?
I am reminded of divinity of Christ sealing within his tomb for 3 days. Perhaps this is some kind of an homage.
And I'm gonna try to feel around it, like see if there's any kind of way, like a hinge or any way to move it.
It is perfectly smooth when you feel across it. Even right at the edges, it is right up against the roots and the stones of the cave mouth, and it does look like it's just perfectly fit in there, like a foot to a shoe. It is almost warm to the touch as the rain increases, and you hear a cry, a piercing cry from high above.
You
look up, and all you can see though is the slope of the hill itself. And the pendulous black rain clouds lashing rain to the tor above the hill. And you hear again from the top of the hill another cry, like a howl, a human howl.
Okay, I turn to my horse. I say, "Stay here, Bucephalus. I wish to preserve the integrity of my neck." And I'm going to climb the tor in the direction.
Are you armored?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. This will be more difficult.
Yes.
You are fully armored. You're okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So the hill it is very sloping and very steep. And as you learn, despite the fact that it is lush with grass, it is also very slick with mud. And your fingers, you know, are able to grasp it. Because those first few steps for the first little way, it is so steep that you sort of have to crawl along. And about halfway up, it becomes more even and you can stand, but you're still hunched and steep. And it's only when you come to the top of the hill, some minutes later, that it almost plateaus, not quite. In the rolling thunder that has now joined the storm, and the sheet lightning that paints the whole area with a purple glow, you see this magnificent this tower of stone and black granite with a single door at the front. And the door is slightly ajar, and from within is the flickering movements of shadows cast by flame.
Oh, I hope it's Castle Anthrax. I'm going to cautiously make my way with one hand upon the hilt of my sword and another hand clasping my precious polished amber knob. Mm-hmm. Clutching it in one hand, I cautiously approach the entrance.
Mm-hmm. And as you get closer, suddenly the door swings open, and from out steeps some strange figure, hooded and cloaked, howling in a language that you do not know. And she casts back her cloak, and from out which, like dozens of bats, scowl as if manifested from nothing, and flutter against you. And she cries, "Be gone, wicked ones!" And she looks up and sees you, and this is the Enchantress Nimue, with her long hair, naked beneath her black shawl, her feet bare and muddy, her hair slick against her, and her one eye, which is golden, looks upon you, and the bats have flooded past you. She looks down. "Just forgive me, sir, for I feared you were an enemy. I cast a spell upon you of fear and fright. But let your heart be stable, for everything is okay."
I draw my sword.
Okay.
Plant the tip in the earth, and I kneel before her. I say, "Milady Nimue, I come to you now in service of the boy King Arthur, prophesied by Merlin himself to be the savior of the Isle of Britain. King Lot of Orkney advances upon Lord Robert, and I come begging for your aid in the battle to come."
"And what aid would you want, sir? If I recall your last visit with me, you were far too distracted by the prospect of the Roman God, of the Christians, who came here to slay the true gods, and it is the fault of your forebears that we are without hope and that Britain is in a shambles.
Since our last meeting, my lady, in the interim, I have learned to read. And I have read of these prophecies of the Druid Merlin, with whom my family adventured in years past, telling us of a boy that would draw a sword from stone, become the anointed king of this isle, drive back the Saxons, and make war upon the continent itself. I now come to believe that you are an emissary of this prophecy, and I humble myself before you, asking for your forgiveness for my impertinence in the past."
She steps closer to you, and, you know, it's raining, it's thunderous. She just shot a bunch of bats at you.
Yeah. That was what really threw me off, honestly.
The wave
of bats that she emitted from
her
clothes.
She's stepped out from the tower, which you know she believes is the gateway to Otherworld, where the pagans believe people go when they die. Are you at all frightened? It's okay if you're not. I'm just trying to figure this out. Where is Sir Caradoc? Is he at all? Is he just like, this is, you know, because he has also just admitted that he believes she is some sort of prophet.
Yeah.
How is he reconciling this? If he does believe that, how is he reconciling that with his Christian beliefs?
I think that there is... I think it's sort of funny. It's like, what was the... from Game of Thrones, Rhaegar, when like he started, like he sort of locked himself away and he starts like reading all these old texts and he comes out like this changed person, and like he believes himself to be as a result of what he's read, like to be the prince that was promised, and he dedicates himself into becoming like an incredible warrior and all this stuff. Like, I think a similar thing has happened with Sir Caradoc discovering that these sort of what he would have termed as like pagan sort of systems and beliefs are not incompatible with his Christianity, that the two are one. And so I think he is afraid, because this is still strange. Mm-hmm. I think almost anyone would be afraid, but he still has faith that this is the right thing that he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So he's sort of falling back on that, relying on that.
She steps close to you. She places a hand upon your head. And from where you are, you knelt, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so and from where you are kneeling, you can see at her navel where her other hand is, she has in her hand is some sort of meal, M-E-A-L, that a little bat is gnawing on in her hand, cupped in her hand. But her other hand is upon your head, and she says, I forgive you your trespasses, Sir Caradoc, and I bless you now in the light of the old gods.
Oh, I'm so jealous. So cool.
I will venture to Salisbury with you.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So long as you promise that my welcome will be warm and that you will protect me should the need arise.
Of course, I pledge you my life, my lady, and I will vouch for you. No man shall lay a hand upon you while I am able to prevent it.
You pledge me your life?
I do, my lady.
Then take out your hand.
Oh, sorry about the knob. Sorry.
She draws a blade and cuts the entire interior of your palm. Not deeply, but enough to make it bleed.
God, oh, that's terrible.
She then with her nimble, cold but steely fingers, closes that hand into a fist so the blood pools between your fingers. And then she kneels down and drinks the blood that drips from your hand.
Oh,
only a few drops. And she looks at you and says, so your oath is made. Let us go.
Okay.
Back in Salisbury, where it's
straight to hell.
Fiona's not waiting. Dude, when she finds out that you're bringing her with you, she's going to be like, oh my gosh, so cool.
Back in Salisbury, there is no storm.
She drank your blood.
Yeah, do you know the significance of that? It's not storming, but it is overcast.
The connection between bats and blood drinking, there's something. It's on the tip of my tongue.
There, I don't know.
I don't know. Whatever. Let's just go. Let's just go.
Salisbury is a busy town, and its serfs and peasants are frightened and in danger.
Mm-hmm.
It falls to you, Dame Fiona, to coordinate what is best to be done with them. And if you recall, Lord Owen said he could only really see three solutions. One was to send them away.
Mm-hmm.
One was to pool them all in the Great Hall, where they would hopefully be safe. And the other was to sort of board up their homes and just hope for the best. So, Dame Safina, what have you decided?
I think...
Or is it a secret fourth option?
No, I don't think
collective
so.
Suicide.
I think it makes the most sense. Just all kill yourselves now. Get it over with. I think it makes the most sense to pull them all into the hall. I think that's where they will be safest. We don't have to worry about them not actually leaving or getting lost or something happening to them as they're going somewhere else. I don't want them to stay in their homes. So I will go throughout the village and say, listen, hear me. Danger's coming.
and you will be safe if you go into the hall. You will stay in Lord Robert's hall, and everyone will be there and protected there by all these knights and by all the gods. You will be safe and together there. So quickly, everyone must pack up what you need. You know,
essentials maybe, only.
Snack, what?
Essential items
one
only.
Snacks. Here you go, Alex. Snacks.
We watch
a movie. We want to be prepared.
And bring a pillow and a snack to share, and we'll have a sleepover. We'll play light as a feather, stiff as a board, and it will be a grand time.
The In Siege movie. It's The Conversation, starring Gene Hackman.
The Conversation.
Make sure you have a headset. There is not enough headsets.
And we will be playing bingo, so bring your little stamps.
All right, so the peasants begin to flood into the hall. And you're going around and you're emptying the houses. You're making sure there's no one hiding around there because for their own safety, of course.
Yes.
And you're doing this, and there's a man comes out. Are you sure this is the right thing to be doing? I don't like the idea that I could come back to a burned down home.
Well, I suppose if you would like to stay and try to protect your home, you might. But what happens if you die in the process? There are going to be knights on horses with swords, and they could just come and they could just lop your head off. Would you rather have your head
Jesus.
Or your home? We
the
will
correct
work
fear
together.
Is a good motivator. I will stay in the great hall. Thank you.
Good. If your house burns down, we will all work together to rebuild.
And another guy comes up. Hey, I think we should just all go to somewhere else where there isn't going to be a battle. Why don't we all just go away?
Well, think about the ruffians on the road. What could happen? The fae folk. Anything could happen while you're traveling from here to somewhere else. You will be safest in the hall with the people you know and love and the protection of the knights who know and care for you.
Oh, okay then. All right. He goes in. You feel a tug at your sleeve.
Brother Melian, no. I swear. Yeah. Yes, who is that? Who's touching me?
It's like a 2 foot tall little girl.
Aww.
She looks right up at you.
Yes.
I'm Fiona.
Yes.
Are you sure we'll all be safe in the Great Hall?
Yes, I am quite sure. Look how strong we all are. The night you've seen all of us, we will protect you. And the safest place for you is to listen to your mother and father and stay safe inside the hall. We will protect you.
But Dame Fiona, I've not got a mother or father. I live with my uncle.
Well, then, you listen to your uncle. He's a kind man, yes?
Well, yes, but he's mute, Dame Fiona. I cannot listen to him.
Okay, all right.
I can't I can't even describe how good it is that Sir Quigan did not go into
the Yes!
Yeah. The best.
This was, Fiona is the best option for this. It's amazing.
We chose well.
How does your uncle normally communicate with you?
One tap for yes, two for no.
Right. Well, then pay attention to his tapping. All right? And you will stay safe.
Okay. Okay.
Any other questions?
No. Oh, right. Yes. Will I live to see another moon, right?
No,
of course you will. Whether I reach my eye.
Tap, tap.
So the hall is over full and crowded. And shocker, many of the peasants are fearful that they will die. Dame Fiona, please make a spiritual roll.
Okay, got this.
Much as spiritual.
18.
Oh.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
You could have blessed this place.
Yeah, seriously.
But only for the fake.
That's a 2 under 18.
You succeed.
Nice.
You calm the crowd with your spirituality. How do you do so? You're in the hall. Everyone is full. It is packed. And yeah, people got their
Snoopy Winkles.
Yes.
I was wondering, you are here to lighten the mood. Would you please entertain our entire village?
Of course. I shall sing a song.
Perfect.
All right.
As rude as you like, just distract them all.
I don't need permission. Oh, does your ma know you're out? Does your dad drink stout? Does your granny wheel a mangle round the yard? Do your balls hang low? Do they jingle to and fro? Do they tie them in a knot? Do you tie them in a bow? Ah!
So I send him in to distract and lighten
so
the mood.
Rude.
Yes, it works.
Yay.
So spiritual of you to have done so.
Oh, I guess that is what I tested, wasn't it? Well,
yeah.
For God's sake, entertain them.
So I will recite. That will happen also, but also I will recite.
That's for the children.
Some for those of us in the hall who have pagan beliefs, I will tell stories of the old gods and how they have protected us up to this point, and we'll continue, and you know, and then I'll see what I can remember from what I've heard Dame Safina say about the Christian God, and I will and also tell a few of those stories to try and buoy everyone's spirits as well through our spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Well done. And that clearly has the desired effect. So there will be no negatives to anyone's morale in the upcoming battle. However, I will let you in on the things that you did not do, which were you did not prepare the Medicaid beds.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to let everyone know that because the beds aren't ready, deterioration will be automatic in the first week. For anybody who is recovering from a wound. Oof. If you remember, that's the loss of 1d6 hit points.
Oh. So it could kill you. Like, yeah, in my case, if I rolled a 5 on that, I'd die.
Yeah, and that's the chirurgery roll is what prevents the deterioration so you can heal naturally. So it's going to happen automatically to anyone in there the first week.
Oh, okay.
The other thing is no one properly looked after the horses. So that's going to count as a failure for all of you on a horse care roll. Oh, so everyone's going to be at -5 to horsemanship rolls during the battle.
Please
make a note on their equestrian notes section of their sheet that you are at a further -1 to horse survival next winter phase.
So I'm now at a -7.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, Bojack,
stop
he's not going to make
him
it.
Pure vodka.
Bojack.
He needs water.
I'm not feeding it. Feeding him, he's finding it on his own. I don't know why they keep filling troughs with gin.
It's not good for them.
Clearly not. So, in the evening, once your work is done, and Sir Caradoc has returned, you turn not to the hall, but to the camp of Lord Owen's men in the fields outside of Salisbury, the same fields you intend to meet King Lot in battle come the rising sun. Oh my God. Tents are pitched in quick fashion, and fire pits are dug and lit, upon which are meats set to blister and soups and broths brought to boil. Bread and cheese is handed out by the livestock farmers who tend the fields in gratitude of all that you're about to do. You sit with Lord Owen and some of the men of his convoy, and he passes each of you meat from the slaughtered sheep above his fire pit, steadily lapped by the flames. The sky above is dark, and with the evening's freshness comes a gentle patter of white rain. Your fellow knights pull blankets tight around themselves. How are each of you feeling?
Depressed.
Right. Quite melancholic.
Yeah, so that melancholy is just doesn't go away.
No. Well, it'll go away. You'll snap out of it once you are required to fight, or somebody that has a love passion for you can comfort you, and it will go away.
No one loves Sir Queegan.
Not even his
There's
wife.
There's people who are loyal to him.
Not even his wife.
Yeah, she's loyal though.
By the rules.
Yeah, she is very loyal. Didn't you know that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. She is loyal. I mean, I think that he is proud of the blacksmith's work that got us ready. He feels ready from the armory perspective, mm-hmm. And he's very encouraged by that in terms of the battle. And but otherwise, yeah, he's concerned. He doubts his own ability right now to actually fight well for Lord Robert.
And Sir Caradoc, have you shared with everybody about your travels?
Yeah.
I'm sure these Lord Owen and the Knights are keen to hear about what happened.
Yeah.
Isle of Avalon.
Yeah, I tell them all about it. And I think he is, like, filled with this righteous fervor based on what he now believes to be true and this sort of merging of the pagan beliefs and the Christian beliefs and what the role that Nimue represents. Like, he is, like, bathed in the light of faith.
Mm.
And I think he's excited, too, because he sees, as he is, like, as the years are passing, the winter phases are passing, and, like, he's sort of been opposed to the idea of marriage, like, sort of concentrating on his knightly career. He sees, like, his friend, Sir Quegan, and the hot, passionate loyalty that he's been experiencing in his own marriage. And I think that's one of the things that Joffrey of Monmouth writes about, is that in the Arthurian ladies, like, would not marry a man until he had proven himself three times in military, like, combat. So he's now, like, seeing it. So it's like, perhaps, like, now, like, I'm actually, like, earning my way to a bride that I could be worthy of. So I think he's excited about that, too.
After hearing your story, one of Lord Owen's knights nudges Dame Safina, who he is sitting next to. He's a Christian knight, you can tell by the crucifix around his neck. His neck's plural. And he says to you, does it sound like Sir Caradoc here is looking to convert the other way? I don't really like the sound of all that. He's drank of blood. What the hell is that?
Oh, the blood drinking, I'm sure, is just a rumor. Listen, this just proves that this is a prophecy by God. We have no way to fail. This is just proof that the boy King Arthur is the true and proven king. And there's no way that we can lose. As long as we all have unwavering faith, there is no way we can lose this.
Well, that's what I'm
concerned
about.
You must believe that.
Of course I believe that, but I'm concerned is that your knight over here is drinking blood with a pagan witch. And now what's that got to do with the king? Like,
he calls out across the fire pit, Sir Caradoc! What did her blood taste like? Why did you drink her blood?
I did not drink of the lady's blood. She drank of mine.
And difference.
Yes.
Maybe the blood of a Christian will sway her.
Well, don't you all drink your God's blood whenever you take your holy sacrament?
Every Sunday.
Yes, exactly.
So
we are bid to drink the holy blood of Christ every sacrament.
I feel you, sir, are taking your eyes off the prize here, and you must stay focused on the task.
I'd like to hear from Sir Quegan on this, actually.
I'm just appalled that Dame Sufina only goes to church once a week. I myself go every day.
Whose side are you on, anyway?
Dave Malone is sad.
He's very sad. Don't listen to him.
I will say this. I have been to the Isle of Avalon, and I have stood in the shadow of that woman's cave. And I can tell you that it took bravery beyond your imagining for Sir Caradoc to do that alone. You should not question his courage. Everything he does for the good of you and all of us. Best, as Dame Sufina says, keep your eyes on the prize. Make sure your sword is sharp. Enough talk. Get some rest.
Well, talk is all we have until tomorrow, I suppose. But, I mean,
you can't say that you're happy about the blessings of a witch, Sir Quegan. You can't say that, can you?
Well, whatever, I'll just say it. The blessings of that witch, as you call her, were instrumental in saving my own life and giving us the opportunity to slay a mythical giant. Without her, we would have had no chance. So, yes, I do indeed take... I do indeed take comfort in the fact that she is on our side in this battle and not on King Lot's.
And Sir Quegan, is this lip service, or does he truly believe that?
I think that he does. I mean, it was Fiona who struck the killing blow, right? Mm-hmm. She had the... You know, she didn't use the magical dagger, but she had the magical dagger of memory.
Oh, and I still got it. I got it for this battle. You better believe.
And, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's trying to convince himself. Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead and tick your spiritual box.
Mm. Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, and that did increase last winter phase too, so maybe he is kind of starting to lean more toward that way.
I should also say to Sir Caradoc, I'm going to give you a choice from your experience on the Isle of Avalon. You can either also tick your spiritual box, or you can develop a new devotion passion to paganism. I'm not sure if you're that far yet, but it is up to you.
Yeah, I don't think... Wow. I think I'll just do spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Because I don't see it as a... that is the funny thing about the Arthurian legends, is there is this sort of crossover between this acceptance of these sort of early church, the pagan practices and stuff like this, you know. So yeah, I'll do spiritual. I think he definitely is getting more spiritual, so I'll say that.
By the way, did Dame Safina and Dame Fiona, did you check the boxes that you got for your successful roles earlier?
I did just now.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Because I remember, as you were saying, I was like, oh, I should check my box for spiritual, because that was successful. Also, and I think...
I was just going to say, in Nora's head, as all this is happening... Holy Diver's playing in the background during this like squatting up montage of us getting ready for this battle.
Holy Diver!
a different knight sort of shakes his head at what Sir Quegan has to say. He's just like, well, look, I think that's great that you've got some wonderful little, you know, blessing that you think is going to save us, but, you know, that's nothing against y'all, but what do you four know of war? He's asking it like an open question. Like, what do you know of war?
What do you know of war?
Well, I've fought in two of Lord Owen's campaigns.
Lord Owen nods while eating his sheep. Mm.
Well, enlighten us.
Oh, well, you wouldn't take that to mean that you're all green, but, well...
We've had our own battles. We're not inexperienced when it comes to fighting.
But war is something all that different. It's not just you and one man. It's you and everything. And there's flames and there's blood and there's screams. And you don't have a moment to think of anything, let alone your self-preservation. You can't do much to save yourself, let alone the man at your side. And you just have to pray and hope that when the last sword stroke falls, that you turn around and it is only your own men that you see, because if you don't, well, that is when you'll go to meet your god. And I can't explain to anybody exactly what that feels like. That's why I'm saying it's nice that you're rested on those blessings, but I'm just not sure that you know what you're leveling it on.
We are And it's from a lineage of fighters. My parents fought in the Battle of Lindsay.
Mine fought in the Battle of Mount Damon.
Yeah. Oh, right. Well, that's
as did mine.
Good. Yeah.
I have this knob.
I have this knob.
Dare you doubt the knob? Look this knob in its eye. Tell it you doubt it. Wave my knob in your face until you agree.
I'm sure all of us, you included, would much rather not enter war or battle if you had the option. But we are given no choice. If he descends on these lands, if he tries to slay Lord Robert, we fight. That is what we do.
What do you think King Lot has any true claim?
No.
No. No.
And even if he did, I would fight to keep him out of here.
And
these
if we die...
peaceful lands. This village is well taken care of by Lord Robert.
Yes, and if we die, we die in battle. What greater glory is there? Yes.
A young man approaches the fire and asks if he can join. He is fair of hair and youthful, and Lord Owen, of course, last to join. And he takes a seat beside Dame Fiona, and he leans over and says,
I was not expecting to see you ever again, least of all under circumstances such as these.
Is it Llewellyn?
It's not. Did you hear his voice?
Did you hear his
accent? No, it didn't sound Irish. Who is it?
Could you make a recognize roll?
Hello, yes. I was like, I don't... Who else would I recognize? yeah, that's a 2 under whatever. That's a success.
That's got to be a success.
Yeah, 2 under 5.
Yeah, cool. Let's tick that box, by the way.
Thank you.
Do you remember a couple of summers ago, you entered an archery competition?
Yes.
And you beat a dude?
Yes.
It's this guy.
Oh.
His name's Heinrich.
Yes.
Hello.
You're stringing your bow up for tomorrow, then?
Well, I actually have been spending more time in recent years working with my spear. I'm Spear Maiden, so...
Oh, you're the dame that killed all those warthogs, the purple ones.
Oh, no. That name's Zephina over there. Killed a giant.
She gives a little yoo-hoo from across.
Oh, right, yes. And the then kilometer-tall giant. I heard you scaled his spine up above the clouds and thrust your spear through the back of his skull.
The stories are fantastical, but I did throw my spear and right through his back of his skull, out of his mouth. Gruesome.
I was very lucky his body fell into the ocean, so he washed away of any evidence.
Very lucky, indeed. That's not really, I mean, that's a nice story, but he was just a large man.
So, well, should the battle go well tomorrow? My father is hosting a feast over the winter time. I thought perhaps you would like to travel with me to visit our halls. There'll be many archery, as I know. You've spent a lot of time doing spears, and perhaps we could have a rematch.
Yes, I think that sounds delightful. See if you've, improved and can beat me now.
Well, we'll see. I'm part of Lord Owen's archery contingent for the battle tomorrow. I'll make sure
fighting.
Not to strike you in the back of the head.
Well, thank you. And try not to get struck.
Yes, of course.
But don't worry, we have the blessings of all the gods. So I think we will be successful tomorrow.
Lord Owen just talks over everybody. What do you all think now? Tell me, what do you think of our boy king? You! He points at Dame Zephina. Tell me! Our boy king, where are your loyalties? What do you feel for him?
The boy king is appointed by God to lead us.
Correct! Sequegan!
Boy king
is
appointed by God to lead us, yes.
Yes, but what do you feel? Don't just parrot what she's saying.
He's too sad to come up with his own opinion.
I wish... If I could give my life for young King Arthur, I would. And I mean
that
sincerely.
Perhaps you will have to.
Perhaps I will. And I will give it gladly.
And you, Sir Caradoc, you've spoken loudly and passionately about what you believe the Boy King to be, but would you truly die for him? Would you die for his right to unite Britain?
Yes, of course. I may in fact die from infection from this wound that the druid gave me, but I would do so gladly, for this boy king is appointed by God, drew the sword from the stone as prophecy proclaimed. He is chosen by God, and he will protect us, protect all of Britain. He will be a true hero.
Hear, hear.
then hit.
You biting. Should really put a leech on that.
No, there's no any leeches.
Biting the last of the meat from his sheep rib. Turns in the fire and he points the rib at Dame Fiona across the flame. And what of you, our red-headed pagan? Are you loyal to King Arthur? Do you believe by the grace of God he is here to unite us as a people?
I am a knight, am I not? Is it not my sacred oath to uphold and protect those who rule this land and who will unite us all together? What greater honor for a knight? This is exactly what I want to be doing, what I am meant to be doing. So yes, I pledge my allegiance to the boy king, Arthur.
Well, stern words from all of you, and we will see on the morrow if indeed they hold true. But the mood is dour. Snoopy Winkles, come! Sing us a song!
No!
Hello! I'm here to sing you a song! Who would like to have fun poked at them? And he starts Caradoc. Going.
What?
No!
Yes, Caradoc! Well, on that note, Caradoc, you feel the stir of something in your belly, and it surely isn't any emotion brought on by Snoopy Winkle's presence. As nature calls to all of us, so it has to you, for now it has fallen upon your time to void your bowels and take a shit.
And there is a table for that in There's the Pendragon Game Master's handbook.
Pendragon Game Master.
Natural 2.
Yeah, you need to go take a shit. This is a thing I do with Skid in our games. You watch the Bachelor Party game. I made him go take a shit.
Actually, that's true.
Sort of a tradition around here.
Tradition here. Yeah, exactly. Skid's at the table, you know, I'm going to make him take a shit.
All right, I seek out the nearest garderobe.
So you walk a ways from the camp to dig a hole to do your business. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, because you don't want to be close to where everybody is. I mean,
no.
You know, and this is, and with only the faint light of the distant campfires, you feel you have privacy enough. And just as you're about to, you've undone the cord around your waist, and you're about to drop your trousers, you are viciously struck across the side of the head. Nora, could you please roll 2d6?
Why? Why is this happening?
What the damage is.
8.
Okay, that's 8 points of damage.
Oh, no!
Could you record that on your sheet? I assume that's not a major wound or anything for you. That's not going to be.
I don't think so. No.
No. But, okay. but write that down as an injury on that. Okay.
Oh my god.
Injury. So Caradoc, you fall to the ground, racked with pain, not to mention the adrenaline surge of the sudden fright that you've received. 3 men loom over you. One is clutching a shovel, and the other 2 with heavy sacks clearly weighted with stones. The man with the shovel puts his foot on your chest and he spits in your face. Bet you wish you could give me my sheep back now, don't you?
Fucking.
And that's all we have this week for Pendragon Under Iron Sky.
Be careful what you do during the winter phase, because it will come back to haunt you.
Oh man.
This just proves that I chose correctly, though. Like, I would not have wanted to retroactively reward this guy with sheep.
That is so awesome. I can picture that scene so vividly.
Why is this the best game in the world?
It's the best game ever made. One session left for now. But look, if you want us to go beyond the next session, the best way, and nay, maybe the only way, for you to make that happen is to make sure that you are supporting the channel by obviously becoming a subscriber at jointhenation.com. Primarily for this show, going to chaosium.com and buying some either RuneQuest or Pendragon stuff at 15% off using the code PENCANON2. And remember what I said, if you get a PDF because you just want to try it first, you will get a coupon for the value of that PDF off the hardcover if you then decide you want to upgrade to the you know, meat space version of the
meat space version. Yeah.
Other than that, though, unless there are any parting thoughts from anybody.
Oh my gosh, what's the name of my new possible boyfriend?
Heinrich.
That's all Paul is thinking about.
Yeah.
Karen's about with this to be dead thing. In the ground. She's
he'll
like, I might have a date.
He'll be fine.
He'll be fine. No, that was awesome. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
Psyched for this book. Can't wait. And I'm kind of sad. Only one more left in this run.
But, I know.
Yeah, and we'll tell you what, though. Next week, war is here.
Oh,
so
man.
Stay tuned, and we'll see you then. Thank you, Naish.
I'm nervous.
We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.
Reality TV is messy, pop culture is louder than ever, and the internet completely unhinged. Welcome to Roxanne
and Chantel,
the podcast where cousins Roxanne and Chantel break down reality TV, celebrity drama, and the stories everyone's texting about.
We recap the shows,
spill the headlines,
and sit down with the stars themselves.
No filter,
no boring takes,
just the tea.
New episodes every week.
If it's trending,
we're talking about it.
This is Roxanne
and Chantel.
Let's get into it.
The world of Sonic the Hedgehog has been thrust into a not-so-dark, not-so-stormy, hard-boiled detective story that probably nobody saw coming. Follow Sonic and the Intrepid Chaotix Detective Agency as they take on their biggest case yet. This high-flying, action-packed adventure will take them across the world, fighting for every clue they can find. It's one heck of a tale, which is good, because this story might be the only thing that can save their lives.
Well, if that's all, I can just dispose of you.
Wait, what?
All will be revealed in Sonic the Hedgehog presents The Chaotix Case Files. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When the Chaotix are on.